If you think I have to be sitting at the head of the table to lead something, you are sadly misled.
Just for everyone's clarification, Brian and most of the other ATRP people are still stuck in the GNSO council meeting. They talk a lot. I don't know.
The rest of the review team is trying to get out of the GNSO meeting, which is having a hard time closing, but they'll be here in a few minutes.
We'll be here till 4:15. That's not a problem. Yurio is still the current NUMCOM chair, so...
Okay, thank you very much for inviting us here. I'm happy to report to you that you have noted in your assessment of the on the recommendation implementation the NUMCOM endeavors to open itself up, increase transparency, and so on and so forth. And I think perhaps I can add a few things. Now, the 2013 nominating committee decided at its kick-off meeting in Toronto in last year, October, that we try to strike a balance between two things that are, in a way, opposite to each other. That is to say, we have the requirement or for confidentiality, and that's something that we are not going to compromise on, but at the same time to increase transparency and openness as much as possible. And I think that the principle that we adopted was a simple but good one. That is to say, process is open but data is secret. Data meaning names and all sort of privacy details of candidates. And we implemented that by opening up our meetings. That is to say, at each I can open each public I can meeting, there has been at least one open NUMCOM working meeting. That is to say, not just a showcase, but showcase, but actually a working meeting where people can come in and observe what we do process-wise. The other thing is, and I think it's mentioned even here, that we published monthly report cards. They are sent by the representatives of each community or stakeholder group to their respective groups, along whatever comments they want to make. But this is the way to keep those groups that send people to be members of the NUMCOM, keeping them informed. And I think that there may be some improvements to that process during this new committee. Also, the report, which the final report of the 2013 nominating committee, it's written as a sort of quite straightforward narrative of our work, and if somebody wants to know in some detail how we actually come to the decisions we make at the final selection meeting, the path is described there. But again, of course, without names, not compromising any confidentiality details. As I stop here, but if Cheryl, who was the chair-elect during the 2013 committee, would like to continue.
Thank you, Yurio, and I'd be very keen to get some interaction with the ATRT too, particularly with a view to how we have done with the recommendations that were given to us for ATRT 1, but we might get to that in separate conversation. With the public viewing of what we do now, we are still finding, I believe, a reasonable amount of the community are simply making the assumption that it is a black box and it is not worth coming to see what we do. So one of the things that we will need to do in this coming year is be even more proactive than running a business meeting, and it is a genuine business meeting, not just a show and tell at each of the meetings. And this is something that I know Stefan is particularly keen on, and he will be building on in his capacity with us this coming year as chair-elect. I would think in the two-year plan it will be developed when he is chair, and that's the effectiveness of our outreach, and that I'd like to think we start talking about outreach beyond the ICANN community, which is a necessary and important part of our role, but also the outreach which is inside of the ICANN community. We might need to coin the phrase there, outreach and inreach, for whatever bizarre reason, but I think we will have to start working on those two plans. So I've given him enough of a heads up now for him to work out that I'm about to throw the microphone over to him, because I think what we need to do is assure you and see whether that is going to meet some of your desirable needs, as if these types of things are what is going to help make us a better and more transparent, if not accountable, model. Stefan, do you want to have a word or two on that?
Thanks, Cheryl. Stefan Van Gelder speaking. I don't really have that much to add. I feel like you've said everything that needed to be said. As you mentioned, both of you, Euro and Cheryl, the focus that we had in 2013 on greater transparency, and the focus that we're looking to have in 2014 on possibly greater community engagement to help us do our work, I think it really is up to us to open it up to the ATRT2 team and listen to your impressions or your recommendations or feedback on that. I think, what we're seeing today is an Omcom that is less of a black box, but not yet something that the community's really adopted. And by that we mean there are a hell of a lot of good contacts and contact networks in this community, and we are hopeful that we will be able to get those the community to engage better with the NOMCOM, so that those networks can be leveraged to the benefit of the community as a whole, because, bear in mind that the NOMCOM is there to serve the community by supplying it with the best possible candidate. So I think that's the approach that the new leadership team is looking to have, and I think that is a direct continuation of the approach the leadership team in 2013 had.
Cheryl, again, for the record, I might just jump in there and raise another point, which I think follows on. The desirable characteristics that ATRT1 asked specifically the board to give to a nominating committee in any given year, so that for them to do their gap analysis and to tell us the types of skill sets, experience and desirable characteristics that they would like to see, has been tested in this year. This has happened. The BGC met with us this time last year in Toronto. The 2013 NOMCOM was fully appraised and I believe had a good working knowledge and understanding of exactly what type of things would be useful to have in an incoming board member. I think that's important for you to recognise. That was actively picked up and done. However, there's often a however, and this is one that really has a nexus with our engagement and our outreach. It appeared to me, looking and analysing at the puddle of people who put in SOIs, was that not only for the board skill sets, but also for the skill sets that we got from all of the other receiving bodies, because what we did with the board, we also did with all of the other parts that we appoint to. So we knew what the CCNSO wanted. We knew what the the ALAC wanted. We knew what the GNSO wanted. And they were all published on our website, and I would like to have been able to say to you it was clear from the SOIs that many people had read them. I'm unable to say to you that many people had read them. Those who clearly were the talent who do their homework had done their homework, but we've got a little bit of outreach, I think, that still needs to be done there. That may indeed be something that we will need to have something as simple as appropriate funding and access to professionals who can sell this story properly.
Okay. Alan?
What we're hearing here is that the NOMCOM is being given specifications and perhaps the applicants are not reading them carefully. But I'll give another aspect of it. I participate in two of the groups that to whom the NOMCOM names people, and I have talked to various people on the other groups. And a few years ago, I recall active discussions in both the ALAC and GNSO about what are we looking for next time around. I haven't heard those recently. So I'm not quite sure where the specifications are coming from, but they're not necessarily something that the community itself is generating. And the feeling I get from the other groups that I don't participate in is, again, the requirements that are being fed to the NOMCOM are being generated by a small subset of the organizations. So I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's the message that I'm getting.
Let me give you the truth, as I always do, Alan. And it's Cheryl for the transcript record. It is very much a subset of the board that gives us the advice because it's the board governance committee, so it's clear. It is a subset, it is a known subset, and we will be meeting with the new NOMCOM for 2014 and the board governance committee on Friday, and this conversation will happen. If the rest of the board hasn't been engaged in briefing them, it's not kind of our fault, and you should deal with that. In terms of the other parts of the community, I will be very happy to share with you, and Yurio and Adam would like to perhaps come in behind this comment, that we had some great variability when we meet with the leadership. And what we do is ask the leadership to provide us with this material. In one particular case, the receiving body did indicate that they were taking it very seriously. They did do it very seriously. And they even had a member-based vote. So thank you, CCNSO. What they have given us is absolute bottom-up requirements. So big tick. What we've asked them to do is review that this time and see whether or not anything needs to change. We were told, however, by other receiving organisations that would be far too difficult and in some cases would take far too long in the time we had. So we were given a filtered view from, in this case, what would be the leadership of the GNSO Council. So it certainly did not go through any form of consensus building. And with the ALAC, you may have been otherwise engaged at the time, but I can assure you it did go through both an ALAC and an ALAC leadership team discussion, but it did not go beyond that to at large. I would argue it probably doesn't need to.
Okay, Ariel and then Ron.
Yeah, just that sort of terminological note. I wouldn't call that advice we get, I wouldn't call it specifications, because specifications is something you give, you know, give me 50 centimeters and 20 centimeters, something. We're not manufacturing these people, and we completely depend on the candidate pool, and then we have to do our best to actually, you know, apply that advice we get, but they are not specifications. Thank you.
Ron.
Thank you very much. Ron Andrew, for the record. This morning we had our close of the 2013 NOMCOM and kind of open of the 2014 NOMCOM, and we went through the report that our leadership team generated for this past year And I think, I'm not sure if we provided you with a copy of that, but that might not be a bad idea to provide the ATRT too with a copy of that document so you can see what our accomplishments were for the year. But what I wanted to bring out in this short intervention is just to say that this idea of providing actually a list of qualifications that are being sought by the community for the various councils and board and so forth is something that we did discuss briefly this morning, and I'm sure it will come on our agenda over this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, when we start our work for the 2014 year. And it's something that I think is not just to be where we've received it, we'll put it on a wiki, but rather we as a non-com, and I would look to our leadership team to give direction on this perhaps on the weekend, but we as a non-com would actually go out to all of the various parts of the body of ICANN, ask for what they would like to have, and publish that in a very formal format, that it actually goes out to the community far and wide as opposed to just being something on the wiki. And in that way, it would awaken many people within the various constituencies and SOs as to what we are looking for, that they might tap their friends and colleagues on the shoulder and say, you might want to consider this. Because as we all know, the qualifications we're looking for on the non-com change every year. The dynamics of the board change, the dynamic of the council changes, and sometimes we need someone who writes well, sometimes we need someone who's very briefed in governance. So there's different elements we're always looking for. So I think that's a way forward for us, and I think that's something we can certainly pick up and develop. And again, I look to our leadership team to drive that. Thank you.
I'm going to try to respond to – oh, I'm sorry. Who's up? Oh, please. Adam.
You know, I can't pass this up to speak. Adam Peake for the Transcript Record. I'll speak back into sort of history of this. And nominating committees that I've been on throughout, you know, time have always gone to the community and asked for information about the skills needed for those positions. There's going back in on to the history of the, you know, the annual nominating committee websites, there's usually a document I think is called leadership positions or something like that. And what would typically happen at you know, coming up to the annual general meeting is that would be sent around to the particular group, the GNSO, the ALAC, the CCNSO, and they would be asked to sort of update it on the previous year, because it wasn't formalized, but it just happened each year. So this is something that's been going on. What we're doing is formalizing it within the ATRT responses, and that's very helpful, and particularly formalizing the board responses, which has become much more detailed than it ever was before. But for the other positions, this is just historical. This is just is operating practice. It's not been brilliant, but, you know, it's been something that's happened since there been the first NOMCOM. So I'm not sure, Alan, that I know really why you're, you know, I think you began by saying what was happening. Well, it's always happened. Whether it happened this year or not, I don't really know. One thing that did get confusing is that the ATRT one, because it focused on the director positions, we did somewhat lose that, you know, the other positions that the nominating committee appoints. So that might have got lost somewhere in the mix as a result of that. But, you know, this is standard sort of operating practice for NOMCOMs. Not perfect, but it's always been there.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, just for clarity, what I said is I recall in years gone past there was very active discussion, and I haven't sensed it in more recent years, and I may well have missed an ALAC one. I know I didn't miss the GNSO one, so I wasn't saying it didn't happen in the past. I agreed.
Thank you, Vonda.
Yeah, just to confirm that those is really, but it was not what Alan have said, but it was really this process to talk with the community. Normally, it's a long time. We have done that, but normally there is no real interest. You make the meetings, and nobody shows up, and you pay this. You just read your report. You inform because it's in the record. But looks like you know, like a pantomime. But it's something like that. But I don't believe that is necessary, or people are not interested after the process. They are normally interested during the process. So the more I talk with the community, the more I listen to them, that they want to be informed, you know, during the process. So I do believe that this new could try to have this well-informed in Singapore, for instance. They are, when they are really interested. Now the process didn't start. So people don't want to lose time for that now. So it's something, or we start early, or we just move the idea to make this showcase for them, how do they participate, and make it more interesting for the community, to attract the community, and make them really understand that if they don't join to us, there is no chance for, you know, select the best one. So that's something that people still not understand in the process. Even a lot of people have done this and talked about this during many, many years. It was continue to be the same questions around. So everybody, you know, come to you and, you know, come to me, come to others, and make the same questions, how it works. It's all done, it's all explained, but in the some way, we are not doing correctly this. We need to think how to improve just that. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to come back to Cheryl's question early on about the assessment of implementation of ATR 2.1 recommendations. And I'm speaking in shorthand, but at a high level, the ATR 2.1 recommendations were about making sure that the right candidates with the right skills were put on the board of directors, and that the NomCom would work with the board to address that issue, and in doing so, maintain its independence appropriately, and respect the privacy of candidates' personal information, and be more transparent in its processes. And I think if you look at the assessment, there's a lot of good that's been done on the whole in all of those directions. The fact that meetings are transparent and open now and people aren't showing up, we're hearing you. But that doesn't mean that the transparency implementation hasn't taken place. It sounds like outreach needs to be continue or be done in different ways to get engagement. Also importantly, though, benchmarking along the way, part of the ATR T1 recommendations, that to benchmark your improvements, your implementations of these recommendations, so that we can measure improvement over time, is a key element. We are asking ICANN staff again itself to adopt metrics for implementation of recommendations from ATRT2. So I would underline that as an important part of process to measure improvement along the way. That being said, we are also here to hear from you about our broader report, too. And so with the time that we have, you're all active members in the community. If you have any feedback on other recommendations that are in the draft report, we are very interested to hear that, particularly which ones you think are hitting the mark, which ones you think might be missing the mark. So this is a very good engagement on the NomCom issues, but I don't want to lose the opportunity to get that feedback from you as well. Robert? Sure.
So if you're looking for – my name is Robert Guerra from the ESAC, for the record. In regards to the ATRT, it's just been – kind of being briefed on the report on Saturday during the leadership training. I'll maybe give you some comments now. I'm not sure if the deadline is today or tomorrow, but there's kind of two kind of high-level comments that I'd like to make in regards to the report. There's at least one of the recommendations focus on transparency in the organization, and One thing that ICANN may want to adopt is what some governments do in different parts of the world is taking it a step further and trying to develop the position around either a chief privacy officer or an access officer that would serve to, in a way, make documents from a board level and elsewhere available after a period of time. That, I think, is done now by the Ombudsman's Office, but that's not how it's done in other structures. And if ICANN is in a position of, serving how it does, that's kind of the model that's done elsewhere. So it's, whether it's a chief privacy officer and how it deals with freedom of information requests, the Ombudsman Office may not be the best specific entry. So documents perhaps would become public after 5-10 years or a period that's defined. And so I think that's something that I just wanted to think that I have here that I think would, so it should, that may be one thing that's kind of a best industry practice or best government practice that might be worthwhile exploring.
Thank you. Other reactions to the report? Recommendations?
Only apologies with all the work's going on. I just haven't had a chance to read it. You guys have put in a yeoman's effort. We recognize the amount of work and, drilling down and meeting after meeting and condensing it down to a succinct document, and I just apologize that I haven't had a chance, and I think many of my colleagues were probably in the same boat. It's not that we don't have any feelings towards it. I think we just haven't got there yet. Apologies.
Not surprising and understood. The community's engaged in a lot of different things. Yes, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah Deutsch from Verizon. I really like the idea of the chief privacy officer, and I used to run our privacy group when it was a really small issue. Now it's so big that it's been given a whole staff, and I'm frankly surprised that ICANN doesn't have a chief privacy officer. So if I can volunteer to provide any guidance on kind of things that the person should be doing or what the issues that they look at, let me know. We have like a whole series of knowledge we'd be happy to share with the community.
Thank you. So in terms of our process, we have comments open till tomorrow. Reply comment period follows. It closes on December 13th. We'll welcome comments in the reply cycle, even if you haven't filed comments in the first round. We are going to give the report to the board on December 31st, so we have a fairly narrow window to take inputs and make modifications to the draft report and then get it done in time. So to the extent you want to offer comments, please do. To the extent you can offer them before December 13th, that would be wonderful. Yes, Adam.
Like Ron, I haven't read 200-odd pages because it looks like a scarily complex document, and well done. I mean, if it's as good as ITRT1, it'll be wonderful. But no, I have read the nominating committee relevant stuff, and if you want very specific comments, I'd be happy to make them, but I don't know how picky you need it to be because, picky doesn't always get helpful, does it, really?
We have to make fact-based assessments, and there needs to be sufficient facts underneath our conclusions and assessments. So if you look at it through that lens and there's an insufficiency there or an important fact that we've missed, that certainly would be helpful. And again, if any of these recommendations strike you as not being on the mark, we really want to hear that as well before we issue a final. Any other thoughts? Well, always open to capturing some free time, yes? Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much for having us here. Thank you.